Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Jesus fed the 5,000. The scripture says 5,000 men. That indicates that there were more than just 5,000 there. There were also women and children. Most of the estimates indicate that it was about 30,000 people. The sheer magnitude of this miracle is startling. The great compassion that our Lord had upon those numbers as they followed him into the wilderness to hear his teaching and preaching. If you think about it, 5,000 men, 30,000 people, six times the size of our town, not even 200 denarii would even put a dent in feeding them each a little. How are we going to do this? Even with our vast transit system, the logistics involved, could we feed 30,000 people from our IGA like that? And not just feed them a little, but until they were full. The scripture says they were satisfied until they had as much as they desired. Though they ended up desiring more than just the bread that day. John says, Jesus perceiving then that they, the crowd, these 30,000 people were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he withdrew again to the mountain by himself. Their desire to hear his word, to be instructed in his teaching, had given way to only thoughts of how can I continue to get this bread? Let's take him by force. Let's chain him to a throne. Let's make sure that we do not let the golden goose that lays the golden egg get away. C.S. Lewis, in his seminal book, Mere Christianity, talks about desire. He's talking about it with regard to hope, the Christian hope of the life to come. He says, creatures are not born with desires unless satisfaction for those desires exists. Then he goes on and says, so if I find in myself a desire which no experience in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that I was made for another world. Part and parcel of Lewis's understanding of desire is that behind every desire, even those desires that are evil, there is something good that is trying to be fulfilled. And so the man or the woman who seeks company in sexual desire actually desires companionship, desires the goodness of what God has created, only they take it and distort it. They take it by force. They try to get it on their own terms and not in the way in which God seeks to deliver it. Or gluttony, seeking to be filled, seeking to enjoy the variety of tastes that God has given us to enjoy, is taking that desire and twisting it. In the end, C.S. Lewis is trying to get us to see that all the things that we are searching for, all the desires we are trying to be satisfied with in this life, if we end up being unfulfilled, which we often are, is an indication that we are made for something else. That there is another world that will satisfy that desire, namely heaven. And that all the craziness that you see in our world and perhaps even in our own lives, all the chasing after this or that, all the scrounging after getting this or having that, all the strange things that we see, all of this is an indication that this world does not have the satisfaction of the desire that we are seeking to fulfill. And so, these people, those gathered around Jesus who saw his miracle, they have a desire. It is a desire to be filled and to be satisfied. But, as St. Paul says in Romans chapter 1, they look to the created thing as the means by which they will be satisfied, instead of the Creator. They look to the things of this world to fulfill their desires, instead of the Creator of this world and the Creator of the world to come. And so they seek to take him by force. They seek to accomplish their own desires by their own means. This is nothing new in the history of mankind, to take matters in our own hands under the veneer of that which seems or appears godly. In fact, we heard of one such episode in our epistle reading today. Abraham is given a promise. He's given a promise by God that he will be given an heir, even though his wife Sarah is barren, and that his descendants will be more numerous than the stars in the sky or the sands on the seashore. God is patient in giving this promise to Abraham and Sarah. Abraham and Sarah are impatient for that promise to come. And so they hatch a plan. Maybe you need to have a child with your servant girl, Hagar. Maybe that's what God was talking about. So instead of waiting for him to give me a child, Abraham, Sarah says, maybe we should do this on our own. In fact, the entire Old Testament is replete with examples of the people of God taking matters into their own hands under the guise of doing something that God has told them to do. Indeed, even now, in our day, there is a banner or a veneer of righteousness placed over all the kinds of things that we see happening and being even preached about in pulpits across our land. Love is love. Trans women are women. Other such nonsense like that. They use biblical words, biblical concepts, in order to seek out and fulfill a desire But they do not see that that desire, that scratch to be itched, will never be fulfilled by what is given in this life. The same as these people. They longed for bread, but behind that was the real desire for the bread of life come down from heaven to give his life as a ransom for sinners. And so they, while they sought to take him by force, he was not willing. He would not let them indulge that desire. But there would come a time when he would let them take him by force. And there would come a time when they would take him by force and make him king. They would nail him to his throne. They would put a crown of thorns upon his head. And they would put a title over his head: Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. And he would be willing to be taken by force in that way. Because that is, by the forgiveness of sins, by the atonement that he won and accomplished by his death and thus his resurrection, he accomplished the real, the lasting satisfaction of our deepest desires. That is to have peace with God and thus peace with one another. What are the desires in your own life that you are continually chasing after, but are never satisfied? What are the things that you go after time and time again, thinking that if you scratch it, it will go away? Jesus said to Martha, "There is one thing that is needful." Perhaps change your tactic. Chase not after the thing that is immediately present to you that you think is causing you to be dissatisfied. But rather, chase after the one thing that is needful, who has come down from heaven, who was crucified for our transgression and raised for our justification. Seek and chase after him. And all things will be made right and full and free. Be filled with the eternal things of God. Be reminded of how he has claimed you as his own in holy baptism, how he fills you, satisfies you by giving you of himself in his body and blood. And as you are going on your way through this life, chasing after him, and as you see others who are chasing after everything but him, ending up in despair and frustration, tell them of what their desires are really longing for. Tell them of what the good news is that you have heard, that this life, as good as it is and can be, is not the end of the story. It is not the only thing. There are better things yet to come, things that we were created to long for. And tell them who that is, that it is Jesus that they are seeking, that you know him, and you are happy to tell them about him. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Now the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting.
Amen.